SBS
SBS
SBS
SBS
SBS
SBS Radio.
If I'm not mistaken, your first trip abroad was to South Kurdistan. I know it was some years ago now, but how did you feel and what did you think of that semi-autonomous region at the time?
Evet, 2013 yılı Nisan ayıydı. İlk yurt dışı gezisi Kürdistan'a oldu.
His first trip overseas was in 2013. In April, and that was the first trip being to Kurdistan. It was a great honor, and he was really pleased about that. He also went there as part of the Beşikçi Foundation, and he was officially invited by the Barzani Foundation, and they've had close relationships since, and he's been visiting South Kurdistan regularly.
2013 yılından sonra da zaman zaman Güney Kürdistan'a ziyaret ettik.
Right at the beginning of the IS spillover into Iraq and of course taking over Mosul, the Kurdish president Masoud Barzani called for a referendum for independence. As you may know, the process has been delayed for many factors and for many reasons. So was it wrong to call it so early?
2014 yılı Haziran ayında IŞİD
In 2014, when Daesh attacked, ISIS attacked Mosul, Mosul was the second largest headquarters of the Iraq army. The Iraq army offered no resistance, and all of their heavy arms went into the hands of the ISIS.
Ve çok ağır silahlar çok kısa bir zamanda Mosul'da IŞİD'in eline geçti. Daesh'in Musul'a saldırması benim kanımca Kürtlerin bağımsızlık istemine engel olmaktı. O dönemde
In my view, ISIS's attack on Mosul was basically determined because of the aim to prevent Kurdish independence. So it was a reaction to President Barzani's call for a referendum for independence. And 2 months after that, in August, ISIS attacked Şengal.
Şengal'e saldırdı. Burada şu önemli, IŞİD'i kim destekliyor?
The important Benim question here is who supports ISIS. Neden? And I believe that the most important support for ISIS is the Iraqi government because they're leaving their headquarters without any resistance to ISIS meant that they offered all the arms, all the heavy arms to ISIS.
Musul'u terk etti. O dönemde IŞİD'in
When ISIS attacked Mosul, there was talks about ISIS marching on to Baghdad, but that didn't eventuate and ISIS ended up attacking Kurdish areas.
İşgal edilmeye başlandı. Ama peşmerge
Peşmerge forces regrouped in a short period of time and managed to gradually expel ISIS forces from Kurdistan.
Başladı. Tabii Irak'ta Kürdistan bölgesel
There was a main dispute between Kurdish regional government and the Iraqi government revolving around the Article 140 of the Constitution. The Constitution required that there would be elections and referendum in areas that were outside the Kurdish region, whether or not they'll be joining the Kurdish region or remaining in part of Iraq.
Bu Kürdistan'dan koparılan alanların Kürdistan bölgesine veya Bağdat merkezi yönetime katılacağı söyleniyordu. Benim kanımca bugün artık 140. madde fiili olarak yaşama geçmiştir.
As a result of ISIS attack, 98% of the Kurdistan region in the south is currently under Peshmerga forces, the control of Peshmerga forces. And this basically means, from my opinion, that Article 140 has, even though it was delayed by the Iraqi government, but in practice it's become a de facto situation in Kurdistan.
Güney Kürdistan'ın %98'i Kürtlerin, daha doğrusu Peşmerge'nin denetimi altındadır.
So, to summarize, it wasn't wrong to call the referendum by Barzani.
Hayır, yanlış değildi.
No, it wasn't a mistake to call for the referendum. President Barzani in Kurdistan should be actually moving towards independence, but those forces, powers, states and movements who oppose in independent Kurdistan pushed ISIS to prevent it.
İşte IŞİD'i desteklediler, IŞİD'e yol verdiler.
And the most positive development right now is that Peshmerga forces have a de facto control of the Kurdish areas now.
You are the pioneer of bringing the Kurdish question into light in Turkey. How would you define the Kurdish question in Turkey for the Kurds of North Kurdistan today?
Yani şu önemli, yani Kürdistan 1920'lerde Milletler Cemiyeti döneminde
in the 1920s during the era of the League of Nations there was plenty of talk about national self-determination as a principle to direct international relations but at that same time this principle was advocated by people in the Soviet Union like Trotsky Lenin etc and in America Roosevelt Even though this principle was upheld, they, at the same time, it was the period where Kurdistan was divided and partitioned amongst various states. This created enormous trauma for the Kurdish people. The outcome of this partitioning was very disastrous for the Kurdish
people. Bu operasyon Kürtlere karşı çok büyük yıkımların gelişmesini sağlamıştır.
The important question to ask is what is Kurdish question? What is the Kurdistan issue? And the Kurdistan issue, Kurdish issue, is basically the fact that Kurdistan was divided and partitioned in the 1920s during the era of the League of Nations. And their right for self-determination was deprived. And they were deprived of the right to have an independent state. That is the issue of what we call Kurdish and Kurdistan issue. Now, different parts of Kurdistan, even though there was partition and divided, they still influenced each other. For example, the liberation struggle in the south ended up influencing the north and the east and the west of Kurdistan, and even Caucasian Kurds. For that reason, it's important when we say North Kurdistan to be aware that it's part of the greater Kurdistan, part of the greater problem.
Şu önemli Kürtler için, Kürdistan için bugün
Another important point to remember is that you have the European Union with 28 members and they've got various states like Latvia, Estonia, etc. who have between 2 to 5 million population. The struggle of the Kurds from the 19th century on was actually resulted in the loss of lives more than the population of these countries.
Mücadelesi 19. yüzyıldan bu tarafa Kürtlerin mücadelesinde Kürtlerin kaybı bu devletlerin nüfusundan çok daha büyüktür. Tabii çok büyük bedel ödemiştir Kürtler. Özgürlük için,
Now,
vatan için
I mentioned that Kurdistan was partitioned and divided geographically, but the issue is not really just geographic division. There's also the mentality. And you see this reflected in the Kurdish organizations, say different Kurdish organizations divided. For example, Goran or PUK having trade relations with Iran. They act according to Iran interest or alternatively KDP. Is trade relations with Turkey forces them to think along those lines. And essentially what you see in these organizations is that there isn't this perspective of Kurdish perspective. And this going above the individual narrow organizational interest, there should be a Kurdish interest. The interest of Kurdistan should be upheld. They unite their policies towards each other.
Bir Kürdistan politikası. Yani bu örgütlerin kendi arasında bu örgütlerin üstünde bir Kürdistan politikası. İşte bu Kürdistan politikasının oluşması, bölünme, parçalanma, paylaşılma bu Kürdistan politikasının oluşmasını engelliyor. İşte burada bir bilinç söz konusu. Yani ne deniyor? İşte Kürtler birlik olsun falan. Halbuki esas sorun bilinç sorunudur. Yani Kürtler şöyle düşünmeli. Biz Orta Doğu'da, Yakın Doğu'da 50 milyonun üzerinde nüfusumuz var. Ama niye bir Milletler Cemiyeti'nde veya İslam Konferansı'nda bizim adımız yok? İşte bu bir bilinçtir. Böyle bir bilinç oluştuğu zaman parçacı siyasetlerin üzerinde işte Kürdistan politikası, Kürt politikası, Kürt dil politikası, Kürt ulus politikası, Kürdistan politikası oluşabilir. Şöyle 2000'lere kadar yani Kürt adı Kürdistan adı yasaktı 2000'lere kadar işte Adalet ve Kalkınma Partisi 2000
Up to the year 2000 Kurdish language was banned then in 2002 AKP came to power and they talked about emerging with gelişti. Europe and Avrupa joining the European Union as part of this some rights or some democratic developments took place but now with the current attacks the AKP government is pretending that they didn't actually implement those policies.
Türk yayınları, gazetecilik, işte kitap yayını, gazete yayını, dergi yayını o konularda bazı gelişmeler oldu, olumlu gelişmeler oldu. Ama son bir yılda, son bir buçuk yılda Adalet ve Kalkınma Partisi, yani bugünkü hükümet, geçmişte yaptıklarını, yani Avrupa Birliği uyum yasaları çerçevesinde yaptıklarını yapmamış gibi bir politika yürütüyor. Çok yoğun bir baskı sürdürüyor Kürdistan'da. İşte bu baskı çerçevesinde milletvekillerinin tutuklanması.
The parliamentary MPs have been arrested and their council co-presidents have been arrested. The councils have been sacked. Within this framework, it's very important to criticize the government and their policies.
Sürekli bir eleştiri yapılabilmeli hükümet için. Kürtler de Kürt toplumunun bir üyesi
Kurds should insist, stubbornly insist on the rights that originate from them being Kurds, being part of a Kurdish people. And they should struggle for that and hence develop their consciousness for Kurdish language, Kurdish history, Kurdish politics.
What do you think about the situation of the Kurds in Syria or the Kurdish regions in Syria today? How have they been, in your eyes, handling the war that's against them as well as against Daesh in that region?
İşte Suriye olayları 2011 Mart ayında başladı. İşte bu süreden itibaren Kürtler kuzeyde bir birlik oluşturmaya başladılar. Yeni bir birim oluşturmaya başladılar. Türkiye'nin bu konudaki politikası şuydu.
The Syrian situation started in March 2011, and it's important to emphasize that during this period, Turkey had two main objectives towards Syria. First was to eliminate, remove the Assad regime and replace it with the Islamic Brotherhood taking control. But at the same time, Turkey wanted to prevent Kurds from gaining anything, absolutely anything, no status whatsoever. During this period, there was a new political unity amongst Kurds in the northern part of Syria. They have developed canton systems in Cizre, Afrin and Kobani cantons. And it's very important that these cantons be united because from the 60s onwards, since the 60s, the Ba'ath Assad regime had systematically played changed the demography of Kurdistan in Rojava and removed Kurds and replaced them with Arabs. So hence, unifying those cantons is very important. And at this period, we see Turkey recently come entering the war by physically actually entering to Rojava.
Yani 1960'lardan itibaren Kürtleri bulundukları alanlardan kopardı ve Güney Suriye'ye sürgün etti. Ve o Kürtlerden boşalan alanları Arapları yerleştirdi. Bu 1960'lardan itibaren Hafız Esad dönemi, daha sonraki cumhurbaşkanları böyle bir politika uyguladılar. İşte Kürtler kuzeyde biz bu kantonların birleştirilmesiyle bir federasyon oluşturmaya başlamışlardı. İşte bu aşamada Türkiye oraya silahlı olarak silahlı bir mücadele başlattı. Yani silahlı müdahale etti ve bu kantonların birleşmesini engellemek için.
Regarding to Kurds in Iran and East Kurdistan, so it seemed that they're in the shadow of international arena. What is, in your opinion, the struggle? What stage are they at?
Kürdistan'ın önemli bir parçası, Roşilat, Doğu Kürdistan. Orada baskı, zulüm daha büyük ama uluslararası basına yansımıyor.
Iranian or East Kurdistan is an important part of Kurdistan, and there is enormous amount of oppression going on in that part of Kurdistan. Unfortunately, this is not reflected in the media and international scene. With the help of some organizations, Kurdish organizations, Iranian government is oppressing the Kurds in East Kurdistan. And it's very important for Kurds to raise the issues, especially with regards to the execution of young Kurds, 20-year-olds, being executed simply because they are advocating Kurdish rights. This has to be exposed in the media quite regularly to raise international awareness.
Bazı örgütlerin de yardımını alarak Kürtler üzerinde Roşilat'ta çok yoğun bir baskı sürdürüyor. İşte Kürtlerin, yani genel olarak Yakın Doğu'daki, Orta Doğu'daki Kürtlerin İran'ın bu tutumunu, Kürtlere karşı tutumunu uluslararası basına yansıtması, sık sık yansıtması, bu konuyla ilgili haberler, konferanslar, paneller gerçekleştirmesi önemli.
And given the complexity of the conflicts in the Middle East, all the various conflicts in the Middle East, and Kurds being in the center of it pretty much everywhere, and how do you see a prospect of an independent Kurdistan at this time?
20. yüzyıl Kürtler için bir felaketti. Bölünme, parçalanma ve paylaşılma, yani Kürtlerin başına lanetli bir çorap geçirilmişti. Bu çok büyük yıkım getirdi Kürtler için. Ama 21. yüzyıl, yani içinde yaşadığımız yüzyıl, işte ilk çeyreğini yaşıyoruz 20. yüzyılın, 21. yüzyılın.
20th century was a disaster for Kurds, absolute disaster. Kurdistan was partitioned, they were divided and oppressed by four different regimes. But the 21st century, in my opinion, is going to be more positive for Kurds. We're going to witness positive developments, and I do believe that we will see a move towards an independent Kurdistan in the 21st century. One thing to look at or pay attention to is the ISIS, the Daesh attacks. Initially, Daesh attacks were considered just the main threat, only threat to Kurds, but then it quickly became apparent that ISIS constituted a threat to Germans, French, and all the Westerners, and pretty much the whole world. And because of this, there was increasing respect for Peshmerga forces, and Peshmerga forces became recognized as an important power in the region, and they're increasingly getting support from the international forces. And this, I think, is going to result in good developments for Kurdistan.
Kürdistan'da ve şurada. Kürtler, işte Kürtlere çok yoğun bir yardım, askeri yardım, örneğin ağır silahlar falan verilmesi söz konusu oldu. Ve benim kanımca artık yani Peşmerge önemli bir güçtür Orta Doğu'da, önemli bir güçtür. Ve 21. yüzyıl Kürtler için çok olumlu olacak. Ben öyle düşünüyorum. 30 sene, 40 sene önce Kürtler işte bağımsızlık anlayışı söz konusu olduğu zaman şöyle deniyor. İşte Türkiye bunu istemez, Amerika Birleşik Devletleri buna karşı çıkar, İran buna karşı. Böyle sözler söyleniyordu. Bugün artık böyle değil. IŞİD'e karşı çok yoğun bir savaş sürdürmesi Peşmerge'nin uluslararası planda çok yoğun elverişli.
About 30 years ago, when people talked about independent Kurdistan, they'll be saying, US won't support it, Turkey will oppose it, Iran will oppose it, etc., etc. But now the situation has changed. Now, with ISIS attack and with international support for Kurds, in my opinion, the main obstacle for Kurdish independence is not America, it's not Turkey, it's not Iran, it's Kurds themselves. And Kurds unable to develop a Kurdistan perspective, a Kurdistan national consciousness that transcends individual parties and parts of Kurdistan would result in a move towards independent Kurdistan. So that's the only barrier. And the way to overcome this barrier is to develop an understanding of Kurdistan independent of the parts, independent of organizations, and focusing on language, culture, history, etc., to nurture a Kurdish consciousness, a national consciousness.
Böyle bir politika geliştirebilmeli. Bağımsız Kürdistan yolundaki en önemli engel işte Kürtlerin kendi içerisindeki bu aymazlık durumu. Kürtler uluslar, dünya uluslar ailesinin bir üyesi olmalı. Dünya uluslar ailesinin eşit bir üyesi olmalı. Yani bunun için bir mücadele, bunun için bir çaba sarf etmeli. Yani
now, one final point, I want to emphasize that Kurds should be struggling to be part of the international family, an equal part, equal member of the international family. They should be struggling for that. And instead of Kurds, the Kurdish issue being raised with regards to security and terrorism, etc., Kurdish issue should be raised with regards to rights and democracy and freedom. And Kurds should be struggling to influence the agenda in that sense.
Böyle değil. Hak, hukuk, özgürlük söz konusu olduğu zaman Kürtlerin adı geçmeli. Ve Kürtler dünya uluslar ailesinin bir üyesi olmalı. Eşit bir üyesi. Bunun için mücadele yürütmeli.
My semi-last question, because I have one personal one that's coming at the end. Some Kurds have been very optimistic about the new Trump administration in the United States. Do you believe America can ever turn its back on its allies in the Middle East and support Kurds, even under a very unpredictable Trump administration?
Ya, old Bush var ya, 2003'te bir müdahale başlattı. Yani Saddam Hüseyin rejimi yıkıldı, Baas Partisi dağıtıldı, ordu dağıtıldı, el muhaberat dağıtıldı. Kitle imha silahları imha edildi. Yani Kürtlerin tehdit eden belli başlı kurumlar bunlardı ve bunlar imha edilince Kürtlerin yolu açıldı. İşte Kürdistan
When Bush Jr., the son Bush attacked Iraq, eliminated Saddam and the Ba'ath regime, that paved the way for Kurds to gain rights. And we had the development of the Kurdistan Regional Government and Kurds increasingly gained more rights in the south. And I believe the incoming Trump administration is also going to be positive with the attack against ISIS and those other forces. That's going to create opportunity for Kurds.
Çok büyük başarılar elde etmesi, IŞİD'in bir tehlike olmaktan çıkarılması ve burada Peşmerge'nin çok büyük çabası, savaşı dünyada sadece Amerika Birleşik Devletleri'nde değil, örneğin işte Fransa'da, Almanya'da, İngiltere'de falan Kürtler için olumlu bir durum yaratmıştır. Benim kanımca Amerika'da da işte yeni başkanın Kürtler için politikasının olumlu olacağını düşünüyorum.
You are to most Kurds known as to be more Kurds than some of us. So, and the other day I was telling a friend of mine who is not Kurdish, I said, I'm going to meet this great person who has suffered a lot just for studying the Kurdish people and society. She raised a very good point and very simply said, sometimes I'm not even bothered to, you know, stand up for myself at work, for example. How did you continue defending Kurds in Turkey, especially? And that cost him his career, personal life, you know, in and out of prison. I've heard him say it was him and his bag going in and out of prisons in Turkey. So what was it that made him keep defending to date?
Yani sorunları yani bilim kavramı çerçevesinde ele almak gerekir. Örneğin 1960'ları düşünelim. Kürtler önemli bir olgu, toplumsal olgu. Ama bu yasaklanmış. Yani bunun ifade edilmesi yasaklanmış. Yani bunu ifade ettiğiniz zaman çok ağır idari yaptırımlarla, ceza yaptırımlarla karşı karşıya geliyorsunuz. Halbuki bilim, toplumsal bilim.
Now, what is important is, and this reflects my attitudes from the 60s onwards, is to approach the situation from a scientific perspective. And that requires us to follow the facts. And we need to understand the facts and the objective reality in front of us. Obviously, you have the official ideology in Turkey, which is very important, influences all perspectives. That coming into conflict with that means that you're going to pay a price for this. But from a scientific perspective, upholding the truth and trying to understand objective reality is the most important thing, and that's what has influenced my decision. And as a result of that, I've been punished and I've been through various different ordeals. But that's the reason for it.
İşte siz bu eleştiri yapıyorsunuz. Bu eleştiriden dolayı bir takım idari yaptırımlarla, cezai yaptırımlarla karşı karşıya geliyorsunuz. Önemli olan bu eleştirinin, yani resmi ideolojinin bilimin kavramlarıyla eleştirmesi, yani sizi güçlü kılan budur.
Thank you so much and it's been a great pleasure talking to you here and welcoming you again and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Australia.
Yeah. Ben de teşekkür ediyorum.
SBS Kurdi, Lasa Radio, Internet, Mobile.